America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People will ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Recapping a win. Sabres win at home, beating Ottawa. Nice performance. J.J. Paterka, Tage Thompson, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and the Sabres beat Ottawa. They'll next play the Rangers, one of the better teams in the NHL. But, hey, recapping a win. Paul Hamilton joining us on the Western Hotline. His appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Jeremy and Joe and Paul. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing good. Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well.
How'd you like it? Best game of the year, Paul? That was like what I threw at Joe. Was it their best game of the year?
You know what? Throw out the score, who won, whatever. That was a fun hockey game to watch. That the physicality, there were good saves, there were good scoring chances, it was fast, it was just a good hockey game. You could sell hockey with that. If we saw more hockey like that, you wouldn't have had so few people in the building last night. You got your, no matter who won that game, you got your money's worth. That was just a fun hockey game to watch, and for the players, it was a fun hockey game to play. Now, with that all being said, if this team would show up like that and play like that more often, we'd be talking about a team in the playoff race and not a team that's near the bottom of the standings. But that's the problem. I mean, we've seen this for a couple of years now, even with Granato. When they figured out what Granato was trying to get them to do and did it right, they normally would win, but they just didn't do it enough, and then they would make all these goofy mistakes, and we saw what happened. Well, as far as that particular part of their game, nothing has changed. You know, they went 4-1-1. They did great. They made up ground in the standings. They were doing well, and then they dropped three in a row, and that's their MO. So now, okay, here's game one of a really good game, you know, where, you know, the physicality came right away. You're 6 minutes into the game. Jordan Greenway makes a great check, just demolishes Stützle. And, of course, in the NHL now, clean checks aren't allowed. You must stand up for yourself after a clean check. And Tkachuk takes the extra penalty. All right, well, when the other team does something stupid like that, what do? You make them pay for it. That's exactly what they did. They went out, scored a power play goal. And now you've initiated the physicality of the game. You've made them pay for their dumbness. And now you're up 1-0. And, you know, it just went from there for them. And that's the way they have to play. And, you know, sorry, it's just one game. But now they got to try to build on it to try to be this team on a consistent basis.
Yeah. But Tkachuk standing up for a teammate there, Paul, it is funny that, like, like one, right, you, as you mentioned, the hit is clean. You're taking a two-minute penalty. You're going down a goal. Also, by the way, was that like not the least action in a fight you've ever seen? Like, was there two punches thrown total? Which is what's fine, I guess. But like, you stood up for the teammate, but you didn't even really, you know, you didn't really even want to fight, I guess.
Well, they got in so close that they really couldn't. You know, they tried to throw a few punches, and they were tied up, and they couldn't. And it's not just to Chuck; it's the way the game is now.
Right.
That, you know, you gotta stand up for yourself after a clean hit. You know, and I hate that part of the game. Standing up for a teammate is one thing, but hey, if you're Stützle, get your head up.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was absolutely nothing wrong with that hit whatsoever. You know how you combat a hit like that? You come back and you make a clean hit yourself. That's how you combat it. You know, it put Ottawa behind the eight ball, and it got Buffalo going.
The five goals last night, Paul, we had talked with Lindy yesterday, and he made this point, felt like every time we asked him about anything, and he said the same thing with the media, too, about finishing chances and how that's been something they've been looking for all season. And last night, they get the one goal from Byram at the point, which, you know, you got to get a little lucky on, but did it feel like a good response by the Sabres when they were getting their chances, that they were getting it to the back of the net?
Well, remember the other night when he was talking about, you know, sometimes it's, you don't have to take this huge one-timer. Just get a puck and some players around the net and get the puck rattling around and get the players rattling around. And next thing you know, you got a goal. I think it was the power goal after they had pulled the goaltender he was talking about. And that's exactly what they did. It was just like, get the puck to the net and get some people there. And that's what happened. Power was in the crease when he scored. And that's what happened when they got goals 3 and 4. You know, Byram just got the puck to the net. Well, guess what? There are people around the net. There's confusion around. Allmark doesn't make the save. It gets through him, and it winds up going towards the goal line. It just barely crossed the goal line when McLeod was there, but McLeod was also there. You know that if it hadn't crossed the goal line, he was there to pop it in anyway. So, and then just a few seconds later, you get the same thing. It's like, well, let's get some people going to the net. And it's not just your guy at the net. If you go to the net, you're probably bringing an opponent with you, which is going to cause more chaos. So all of a sudden, Thompson goes to the net. He's got Sanderson coming with him. Sanderson throws him into the goaltender. Now you got a schmozzle going on in there. And Tuck winds up. I did look again. I was pretty sure he didn't bank it in on his shoulder. It was actually Thompson was laying on the ground, and there's one angle you could see it perfectly where Tuck just banked it in off his glove, which was laying on the ice, and put it in. But it was exactly what Lindy Ruff was talking about. It doesn't have to always be pretty like the Paterka goal. Sometimes it can just be, you know, don't get the puck blocked, you know. Just get it around the net and get people there quickly. And sometimes the puck just goes flying around, and next thing you know, it's on somebody's stick that has an empty net, or you get it to go in off the goaltender, or you get it to go in off your guy who's laying on the goal line, and it goes in off his glove or something goofy like that. So those are the types of goals that he was talking about that they're missing out on.
We called it the Sabres' best game of the year, Paul. Would you also say it was Lukanen's best game of the year?
Oh, yeah. And in the pregame show, you know, Lindy talked about, and he wasn't blaming the goaltenders, and the goaltenders haven't been awful, but I don't think Lukanen has played as well as he did last year. And what was missing, he was making some big saves, but it's the big save at the big time. He wasn't making enough of them, and that's all Ruff was talking about. He goes, we could use a few more big saves at big times from our goaltenders. He goes, there's no question. And it came right away where, who was it? Whoever it was, I can't think. It was Norris, who got knocked Thompson off the puck in front of the Sabres net. And next thing you know, it was a 2-on-0. It was a quick 2-on-0. And Gregor wound up with the puck, and Lukanen made a huge save. That's the save right there. that Lindy Ruff was talking about. It lifted the bench. It lifted the building, you know, and he made a great save there. He made quite a few of them as the game went on. And definitely was, I think, from a standpoint of, you know, and he says when you get a save like that, it does lift your team. It does. Oh, look at he bailed us there. Great. You know, it's not an easy save by any means. It's not like he's been letting in goals where you said, oh, geez, boy, he wants that back. You know, or letting in a bouncing shot from the red line or something like that. It's just he just wasn't making that big save at the big time, the timely save. And that right there in the first period allowed you to leave the first period with a 1-0 lead. And early in the second period, you got that second goal. Another thing that they'd been missing, getting that second goal. They got it quickly in the second period, and they were on their way.
Paul Hamilton joining us on the Western Hotline. Lindy's also showing us a willingness to scratch players that maybe in the past had not been scratched, right? I mean, whether that's sometimes for injury to get right, but in the case of Henry Yokiharju and Matias Samuelsson, he flat out said they need to raise their standard of play. And Paul, I can't think of the last time that two players of that caliber, I guess, were scratched in the same game by this organization.
That's three defensemen who he has said the same thing about in two games. Clifton was first, and he sat one. And Lindy said, and I could tell with his press conferences, both in practices and games, how he was starting to get frustrated with this group. And he did say, he goes, I've been as patient as I possibly, more patient with this group than I have ever been, trying to, as he put it, trying to figure them out. And I think that patience is over. And that's that. They definitely, especially in Samuelsson's case, were not playing to the standard of play. And quite honestly, they may have to wait. If it were me, why would you change anything from the game that you saw against Ottawa? Why would you change anything Thursday against the Rangers? So those two may have to wait a little longer, may have to for their next opportunity, because I would, first of all, I think Bryson's played two games and he's been good in both games. Dennis Gilbert was solid, you know, a good physical game that he played. I wouldn't change anything at all.
Is one playing worse than the other, you think, Paul? If one goes back into the lineup at some point, who do you think Lindy would put back in?
I'd put Yokiharju back in. Definitely, I think, yes. Samuelsson just, you know, it hasn't had it. And if he could get back to where he was before these injuries started, you know, when he first came up, and he was a guy that, you know, played on your first pair and was really good. And that's why he got the contract. And, you know, the contract, if he plays like that on a consistent basis, that contract is a steal. But, you know, he's had the injuries after injury after injury, and he just hasn't been able to get even close to playing like that again.
I've wondered, Paul, he has not really skated with Dahlin yet this year at all. I don't even think he's really warranted going up to the top pair, but I've been kind of waiting and wondering, like, will Lindy ever get to that? Like, think, you know, let me throw him back with the guy he had success with before. But again, that's tough because he's not really playing that he warrants 20-plus minutes a night, but it's, you know, that's the guy he had his success with 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was, and it was very successful. But the thing is, too, you know, where is he now physically? I mean, can he play like that? That's the thing. We don't know. We don't know how these injuries have taken out of him. And, you know, can he get back to that? If he can, he's going to be a darn good defenseman. But certainly he's just been a shell of himself with these injuries.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, next up, it's the Rangers. We'll get to the Eye on the Blue and Gold and ask you what you're keeping an eye on. Eye on the Blue and Gold brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Is it whether they can crack through the Rangers' defensive wall? They're the best defensive team in the league to this point in the year.
Yeah, when they played Dallas, they were, and they cracked through that and were able to score some goals. You know, and offensively, you know the names for the Rangers. I mean, guys that, you know, are putting the puck in the net on a yearly basis for them. I mean, Panarin's already up to 9 goals. Kreider's up to 7. So they have those guys. They have the horses that way. They know how to keep their puck out of the net. They have one of the best goaltenders in the National Hockey League, has been now for a couple of years. Now, last year, if you remember, he had lost it for a little bit. Matter of fact, remember Jonathan Quick was playing quite often? He wasn't even in the net. They actually decided they weren't going to put him in the net for a while, and they wanted to give him some practice time to work on his game. And then it kicked in for him, you know, in the second half of the season. And with him, you know, you have your hands full, you know, playing the Rangers. But quite honestly, if the Sabres come out and play the same game that we watched last night, then I think the Rangers have their hands full too. You know, I think if they play like that, they have a chance to win any hockey game that they come into. But there's a lot of ifs in that statement, and there's no history to show us that they're going to continue to play like that. They have to prove it that they can play like that on a consistent basis.
All right, thank you, Paul.
Take care, guys.
Paul's appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
It's the worst contract right now between both teams. Worst contract, Bills or Sabres, right now. What's
and
the worst
and then
one?
Best?
You can just wipe clean one. Yeah. What
best,
would you do?
Best is Christian Benford.
Best contract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Entry deal, 6th-round pick.
Yes. Yeah,
elite.
Is he even making a million? Is he even making a million?
Yeah. Worst contract.
Although, would I just you could ask it two different ways. What the worst one is? Maybe this is different. If you could just hit a button and one of them is just gone, one of the contracts is gone.
Yeah, that might be the same. Although,
because then you might just pick Knox for the Bills, for instance, because the Bills are actually good, and like the Sabres, it's like
right.
Whatever.
You might just pick Curtis Samuel to wipe out 2 years of 8. You know, but that's not that big. If you're trying to get me to say Samuelson because it's such a long contract, like that's different too.
I just did the math. If there were no playoff games, he's under contract for 489 more hockey games.
Samuelson?
Yeah, he's under contract till, I think it's 2030. So his Cousins, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two for the Sabres. And then Knox would be the Bills one? Is that the worst contract on the Bills right now?
No.
No?
I mean, would you...
What's worse than that one? That's... Well, how much does he have left? Is another good question.
They redid him. He's got another year left at least.
Yeah, this year his cap hit is 7.7. Next year it's 14. The year after it's 17. And there's a dead cap figure in 2 years of 7. So even in 2 years, if they move on, they're still going to be eating $7 million for him.
It's pretty bad.
That might be the one. That might be the one. Given where the Bills are at, that might be the one.
Yeah.
Although Samuelson's been so bad.
803-0550. Raining out there. It's supposed to get a little nicer as the day goes on.
You can't complain too much, though, because we have been spoiled this fall, right?
I mean,
it's almost not even fall weather.
Yesterday was incredible. Yesterday was 70. It definitely is fall weather.
It's never that
somebody
warm.
Somebody yelling at me yesterday about this isn't fall.
It's a little warmer than you're used to.
Let me introduce you individuals to seasons. The whole point is there are some days that are nice in this way and some days that are nice in this way.
Right, but that would be like if it snowed in, like, August.
That would still be summer. It would be a snow in summer. It would not be summer-like weather. But for you to say it's not fall-like, every single fall has 75-degree days. Every one. It is definitely fall-like.
We are setting records now, though. Getting a little... Which, hey, all that could mean is that fall gets extended a little bit further into November.
That's
and
right.
December. You'd have to hope. I mean, when our golf course is going to close in the next, like, 2 weeks?
Getting there. Daylight savings hurts.
Daylight's
that.
The thing, right?
You can't have, you know, can't stay late, open
daylight
too late,
savings.
But you are open earlier. Yeah.
We should be doing daylight savings revolving around the golf season. If the weather starts getting nicer, we should actually move it the other way so that it, like, you know, right now it's 8:21. It's actually 6:21. No, that's the opposite way. How would I want to do this?
Wow, you really hurt my brain with this.
I need the later in the day. I need more sunlight later in the day. So how do I going to move the clock then? Instead of it getting dark at 5:30, I need it to get dark at 7:30 in November.
You want it dark until 11 a.m.
Yes.
What about people who want to golf?
The sun comes up at 11.
What about people who want to golf in the morning?
I mean, don't you work?
Maybe they work at night.
Okay.
All right.
Different clocks for everybody.
Well, as you bring that up and make my brain hurt. I'll just simply say... right.
Yeah, basically what I want is the sun to come up at 11 o'clock in the morning. That's what I want.
When does a joke become a dad joke?
Is this a dad joke? Wait.
When
Josh,
does a
is he
joke...
asking a real question, or is this the setup to a dad joke?
This is definitely the setup for a dad joke.
Okay. When does a joke become a dad joke?
When it's terrible. I don't know.
When it becomes apparent.
That was good. Yeah. I think that's closest
to
10.
That's a 9.4.
9.4.
9.4. That's pretty good.
To rescue us from you making my brain hurt about what time it is. You know what you can do? And rather than like move the clocks around if you want to golf, just move north. There's a lot of light.
Then it gets colder.
That's true. That's
so that actually... Wait. North gives you more sunlight in the winter? I thought it goes...
Oh, you're right. Other way around.
I think in the summer, the sun's up all year round, but then it never comes up in the winter.
That's how much my brain was broken by you trying to move the clock around. I had it backwards for a moment there.
Yeah, everything's backwards. So we're going to move south then, is what I really
mean. Yes. Yeah.
The Bulldog golf trip where he once just drove south until it got warm enough to golf and light enough to golf, which I still think is incredible.
There's the Lofoten Lynx, I think it's called. In the summer, you can go. It's way, way up in Sweden or Norway or somewhere.
Okay.
And that's on the Arctic Circle. Like, that stays light all the time.
Okay.
Way up there.
In certain times of the year.
Norway. Yeah.
There was one of the golfers, I think it was like Victor Hovland or somebody, like plays in the snow with like an orange ball.
I think I saw a clip of him doing that because he hit the ball. He was playing in the winter. He hit the ball. It landed on a frozen pond / lake and then topped up onto the green. Winter golf. Frozen pond.
Listen,
it suddenly becomes like a ramp. Just shoots. It's like Mario Kart. Just you drive over and it shoots you forward at 100 miles an hour.
If they have internal out of bounds at golf courses, which they do sometimes where you hit it onto a hole next to the one you're on, they'll say that's out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
Then why wouldn't they have like internal water? Based on conditions. Like, oh, you hit on the frozen pond? That's a water. It's hazard. Just keep it as a water hazard. You can't hit it off the pond.
So you're saying if...
Yeah, I'm saying if you
if
hit
I
it...
If I were to play golf in 2 months, there's some course here that was open. A lot let me play. And the pond was frozen.
And you hit it...
And I hit the ball off the frozen pond, and now it's 5 feet from the pin.
Yes.
You're telling me...
Penalty. How is that any different than internal out of bounds?
Because the ball didn't end up out of bounds.
Out of bounds is just a place you designate.
Wait, this is one of those golf rule questions that maybe I don't know then. If your ball goes past the line marker to go out of bounds, but hits a tree and bounces back into the fairway, I get a penalty?
No.
That's the same thing then, isn't it?
That's not what internal out of bounds is, though. I'm saying internal out of bounds is when courses just decide, yeah, you know, if you hit it over on this hole, that's out of bounds now. So why not just deciding that, you know what, that's a lateral. If it's in there.
But in this case, the ball didn't stop there.
All right, fair enough. What if it stops on the pond? Then it's a penalty.
You're telling me I can't go out and hit it? That's probably smart anyway.
It might be ill-advised anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, coming up at 9 o'clock, Judah Forking of PFF, some database stuff. Good stuff for fantasy football, some of your betting ideas. Just like, he's got a Substack and a... really cool thing going. So we'll talk to him about the NFL, state of the NFL, matchups, you know, how strong the Lions look. If he thinks there's a big five, right? The big five there. Lions, Niners, Bills, Ravens, Chiefs. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tre'Davious is one of those dudes. Think about where he was trained, okay? He was trained up in Buffalo by Sean McDermott. He's very, very adept at split safety, quarters, half-field coverages. He's a guy who can play a lot of two-man because he's real smart. Tre'Davious is one of the smartest corners in the NFL. He just got bit by the injury bug.
Yeah.
So now you have to protect him a little bit. He isn't that island corner anymore. This is really like a testament to him. He's a great system fit in Baltimore, and he's a culture fit in Baltimore. How many times has John Harbaugh talked about, like, the most important thing that we have down here is culture, all the strong personalities in that locker room? Trey White is one of the most professional dudes in the NFL. He's one of my favorite people.
Lewis Riddick on Tre'Davious White goes to Baltimore. I think they're wearing their new purple helmets tomorrow.
Have they worn those yet?
No.
Do they have like a gold stripe on the top too, I think?
That sounds right.
Okay. All right,
so
see those.
The contender report. Got a number on the Chiefs. Do you want it?
I want to talk about the Chiefs.
Sorry. Fine. Go ahead. What do we got?
The Chiefs lead.
What are they doing really well now?
The third down conversion.
Oh, I did see this actually. Warren, is it Mahomes specific?
It's Warren Sharp has that they're 54% on third down this year through one of the touchdowns they scored. And that number, 54% on third downs, would not just be the best third down team of the year.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs would be the best third down conversion team through 9 weeks in 13 years.
Yeah. Yeah. This goes in line with this almost the same exact stat that Mahomes, even though he's like 21st in the league in EPA per dropback this year, is number one in EPA per dropback on third and fourth down. So what is he doing? He's playing with his food on first and second down.
Well, what's
at that point? What does it matter? Like, if you're getting the conversion on third down, you're getting the same result.
One thing they're doing is they're running a lot on first and second down in Kansas City.
That's true.
You know, question for you about that. So I had that stat for you on how good they are on third down. We know the Ravens by DVOA are the third best offense ever right now,
right,
in the DVOA era, if you wanted. And then there's the stat that the Commanders average 43 yards per drive, which would be the best ever also. I've got multiple teams out there that have really, really good high-powered offenses. The Bills has awakened a little bit, right? The Bills look like they have a good offense. Remember weeks 1 and 2 when offense was dead? Did that conversation end?
Forgot about that. So I think yes, because I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. Scoring is this, and you might still see numbers that scoring is down. But
I think it ended for us when the Bills played the Jaguars.
Might be. They blew out, like, the Jaguars. Everybody blows out the Jaguars.
That's true.
They're pretty rough.
But I think it felt like it ended there. Is it true, though, that it feels like it's true that it's progressed back up?
Well, it's about... I always thought that when that conversation was happening, it was a couple things. It was young quarterbacks, some teams with bad quarterbacks. More teams are willing to, you know, throw a guy out there who's not ready, and then... All right, he's to the bench and the backup is in. I actually saw this laid out pretty well about Anthony Richardson. So Richardson, the Bills play the Colts this week. And the way that the structure of NFL contracts works now, and how, think of it this way. We know the rookie quarterback contract is the most valuable thing in the sport, right? Because if you hit it, you have an incredible player at no money. So right now the Commanders are just, holy cow, Jaden Daniels has the best contract in the entire NFL. He's a rookie contract quarterback who's lighting it up. And it's why receivers and quarterbacks moved up in the draft quite a bit. Quarterbacks first, obviously. And receivers are now like the next best value in the draft. It's why they're moving into the first round even more. But anyway, getting back to this point. What's the natural progression of that? The natural progression of that is you draft one, and then you decide in a year or a year and a half, like, he's not it. Let's throw him away and just do it again. Mm-hmm. There's no drawback. It used to be that if your quarterback needed 2.5 years, you had to do it because before the rookie wage scale was introduced, you had committed $53 million to this player. You sunk cost. You have to do everything you can to make sure that Sam Bradford is good. You've already spent all the money. Now, look at the Patriots. The Patriots drafted Mac Jones. What do you have, 2 years?
Yeah.
See you later. Another quarterback. Not 5 years. Not year three, year four of that rookie deal. Was it 3 years he got ultimately?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
He was getting pulled in and out of the third year.
If you're the Colts, you could say, what are the Colts doing? You could just dump Richardson and draft one next year. Try to move up. As long as you're not spending crazy draft capital to do it, if the Colts season falls apart, let's say that Shane Steichen has thought, I've seen enough of Richardson. I don't think it's there. The NFL draft order right now, the Colts in the next 2 weeks play the Bills and the Lions, I believe. And if the draft were today, the Colts would draft 12th.
Okay.
They're 4-5.
Uh-huh.
What if they finished 5-12? What if Flacco goes in and just throws him to the bottom and they say, yeah, we decided Richardson isn't it. We gave it 2 years. He can't stay healthy. He can't hit intermediate passes. Don't like him. Throw it away. It was cheap. It was cheap anyway. So if we're going to treat those quarterback contracts, those entry-level deals, like they are kind of coupons for free value, then you'll just discard them quickly.
You are spending a huge asset in the draft pick, though.
For sure.
To do that.
But wouldn't you just, well, let's go back to the idea you should take one every year until you find one that hits.
Right.
2 years ago, they spent a big asset on it, and they've decided it didn't work. How different is that than the Carolina Panthers' second-round pick on Jonathan Mingo? 2 years later, get him out of here for a fourth. Like, we just don't think it's there.
Yeah.
He's been passed. He's not good enough. Teams willing to, as the cap goes way, way, way up, and salaries go way up, wasting your time on a guy that's cheap, well, let's just get out of this.
The thing, though, about Richardson specifically, this is why I don't think this is what Indy's doing. The reporting yesterday was that there were a bunch of teams calling them about Richardson. They said he's absolutely off limits.
Until the offseason? When?
I guess, but why wouldn't you just do that now?
When in their next six games, you tell me their record in the next six games for the Colts. They are 4-5.
Yeah.
Bills.
Loss.
Jets.
Where is it?
Jets.
It doesn't matter. Jets.
Loss?
Yeah, loss.
Lions.
Loss.
At the Patriots.
Win.
Okay. It
doesn't have to be, okay, but I'll say win.
At the Broncos.
Loss.
Home Titans.
Win.
At the Giants.
Loss.
Home Jaguars.
Loss.
That is,
I gave them one of the bad games, or two of them.
That is 5-6-11.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's like the seventh pick in the draft.
I also like wonder if they would. They're not going to stay to their word if that's happening. By the way, if their season's unraveling like that, they're putting Richardson back in, right?
Maybe to showcase him and trade him somewhere else, and then draft a guy with the seventh pick.
Like, that's the thing. Do they need to showcase him? Because it seemed like the second he was available, half the league wants him.
Well, if you believe it.
I would believe it. He's played 10 games. If I'm a coach that liked him in the draft process, you've given up on him. If I'm a team that loved him and wanted him, I would say, I haven't seen that dude play football yet. He was already inexperienced. He's attempted 200 passes.
You didn't see him play in college either.
But that's the thing, though. But like, if you wanted him in the draft process, you would have known what you were getting into. You would have known this is an inexperienced player. And I don't think his numbers are so bad that you couldn't think, hey, there might be something there, because he's getting enough results with big plays and running the ball with his feet. If you want that mobility, you want that athleticism, at a quarterback that's still 22 years old, like, I think he has value in the league right now. I think the Colts would be doing a disservice if they put him in.
What'd you pay for him? A team that needs a quarterback, what'd you pay?
I pay a second round pick.
A second?
Yeah.
Oh man, they would take it.
You think?
Yeah, I think they would.
I wonder if they would.
I don't think they can get a second for him. I mean, in college, he had 24 touchdowns and 15 picks.
He played, what did he attempt in college? Like less than 400 passes?
393 attempts in college.
That's what I mean. Like he's attempted 600 passes in his life.
Right. I actually don't think there's a whole lot to suggest he is good. He's got some flash plays. He's got some highlight plays.
But those are carrying him to numbers that are similar to middle of the road quarterbacks in the league right now, and he has hardly played football.
But that's
like I would want to see if he could grow into being a more efficient passer. To me, maybe Allen's trajectory here is what's spooking me about Richardson. I don't think Allen's trajectory is likely for Richardson. I think that was an anomaly. Absolutely.
No, I don't think. I mean,
I'd want to explore if this could be a second anomaly because he's got freakish athleticism.
I don't think Allen was ever as close to as bad as Richardson was.
First 10 games?
No, that's getting said a lot. I don't think he was ever as bad as Richardson.
I don't know that he was making plays down the field like Richardson was at the beginning. Remember, Allen couldn't hit a ball down the field until his third season. Richardson at least has done that. It's the only reason why he has an ADOT or yards per attempt of over 7 so far this year. He is making plays with his feet. The health thing would be the difference, I guess, too.
Yeah. It's also worth pointing out, like, Richardson's in his second season. His first season was kind of a wash.
Right.
Because he got hurt. Whereas for Josh Allen, I mean, Allen threw for 3,000 yards in his second season.
Yeah.
That's not nothing.
I continue to think what the Colts are doing is more about his character and his maturity than it is with his play on the field.
Yeah, that tap on the helmet really drives the conversation.
I really think that's what's happening there. And maybe they're giving up. The Colts are just also, I don't know. Did you see the thing about the owner's daughter being on the sideline of the field right behind the coach?
No. I wouldn't think about it too much.
She's standing behind the head coach with a headset on.
Okay.
That's not weird?
Nah.
I think the whole, Ursay in general, like this is a not just about that one event that apparently has been happening on the sidelines. That owner hired Jeff Saturday with zero coaching experience midway through his season.
That's true.
They're kind of a joke, right?
Yeah, they're kind of a joke.
Outside of Peyton Manning, that organization is kind of a joke.
But Steichen's not, to me. Steichen had Minshew playing well last year.
Yeah. Well, do we believe 100% Steichen's the one who pulled him?
That's a good question. 803-0550. Judah Forking of PFF coming up 9 o'clock. We'll chat some football stuff. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. When we get back, it's Worst Call Wednesday. If you like rants, we don't get to have them anymore because the Bills are good, so we don't rant until the postseason. But there was just a beauty of a rant in Cleveland. We'll get you that.
So what's the problem with the media then?
You guys just let it slide like this everyday thing.
Letting it slide? Who lets it slide? Who the hell lets it slide?
There should be a campaign in the media right now to get Haslam the hell out of this city.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Yeah, we're just going to make the owner sell the team is what we're going to do. I mean, you understand. I mean, we can go ahead and we can tell all these guys to sell the team. You're just going to get another owner you don't like.
I'm sick of going in this revolving circle of mediocrity. They don't know how to identify talent in the front office. They don't identify talent. They hired guys that don't think of. They got a baseball guy in the front office.
And I never signed off on that myself, Greg.
Well, then that's what you need to do is raise your voice.
You think I haven't said to get rid of Pauly Modest over the last 10 years? Are you nuts? Are you nuts, Greg? I've never once said that I didn't trust Pauly Modest over the last decade.
Hey.
What?
I'm talking about your buddy Lima.
He's right across the table, Greg. Say it to him.
That is Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima in Cleveland. Ken's always good for a good rant. He got a call about, hold ownership accountable. Went off on a ramp. So we'll call that Worst Call Wednesday, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. It's the worst call there to the station, but one of the worst calls you could make is to skip your recommended cancer screenings. To learn more about potentially life-saving screening recommendations and guidelines, visit roswellpark.org/screening.
Poor Cleveland.
Listen, I just need to hear rants every once in a while.
Yes.
We are.
With all these teams starting to really fall apart, we should have some more things to pick from, I would think, too. You think?
I mean, nine.
A lot of dumpster fires.
Nine teams with two wins.
Yeah. Who's ranting?
Who thinks they're pulling it out of the fire? Miami? I mean, I saw Miami
should be ranting.
There's also, the rant industry now where
you know,
it's fake rant.
Yes, yes. There's a lot of fake rant.
Yeah,
that's not fake.
We don't want the fake rant. That's right. That was organic.
Yes,
that was totally organic. Where do you get organic? You get the Jets organic a lot. You should be getting Miami, shouldn't you?
Maybe.
Who are they yelling? They're yelling at McDaniel, though. I guess. They are now 3-6 in their last 9 starts with Tua.
Not good.
Nope. Not good at all. How about a Titans rant, too? Nah, I guess they wouldn't be. If the Colts start getting pummeled by other teams, then maybe they're the next team for this.
Who's having the most disappointing season in the NFL? Jets? And they're not totally dead yet.
Are the top two in this division?
Yeah,
is
maybe.
Is it Jets, Dolphins, 1-2? Or do the Cowboys lay claim to this?
Yeah, they count.
The Cowboys would be in this running. How about, is there a big five of the most disappointing teams? Jets, Dolphins, Cowboys, 49ers?
No, it's a lot of, I feel like that's just tons of injury.
It's still disappointing.
Comically bad injury luck there.
Okay, I guess you're not mad though.
And they're still in the race. They're still good. They could still win the division.
And what about
Jacksonville?
Jacksonville, that's good. Yes. Oh yeah, 100%.
The big five of disappointment.
And the coach is still employed?
Yeah.
That's going to end, though, mid-season, isn't it? What's their schedule coming
up? We've had
out?
Two coaches fired? Robert Saleh and Dennis Allen?
Okay, he's getting fired. Their next three games, Vikings, Lions, Texans. They could lose all three. Easily, they could lose all three.
803-0550. Judah Forking, Pro Football Focus on the other side. We'll chat some football stuff. Ask him about the big five and, you know, what's in there to determine if the Bills are the same team they were before the Amari Cooper trade, among other things. So we'll get to that. Some football chatter on the other side here on WGR.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!